Hi, everyone. This is Sam with Gary and John joining me, and today we want to talk about releasing. We've put up the passage from Hebrews 12:1 from the New Living, which says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." The reason we wanted to put the topic today about releasing, and you know that passage is of course the perfect passage, releasing all that holds us back, every sin, every weight, every encumbrance. There's a lot of different versions and translations. The reason we wanted to talk about it is we realize that we're always talking about calling, and we really do believe God has a calling for us, an individual, personal purpose for us. Because he loves us. He delights in us just the way we delight in our children, and more than we delight in our children. And he wants us to have sort of a purpose in life that he's given us. And we talk a lot about that, but we also realize that in order to walk in our purpose, we often have to just let some things go that have been holding us back. We have to release things that are tripping us up. And so we want to just take some time today to talk about really two things. One is, what are the kind of things that we have to release? What are they? And secondly, how can we release them? Because sometimes it's easy to know I have to release something, but then very often we're stuck. I don't know how to. So, Gary, John, welcome. It's really good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. This is fun, even though we just saw each other a couple days ago.
We did. I just saw John yesterday. We are both going to the airport together. So,
yeah, almost.
Gary or John, what are some of the kinds of things that you see in your own life or in other people's lives that need to be released?
Well, let me start real quickly by saying, you know, John did a great job of addressing this at the fourth quarter retreat we just did this weekend at Bear Trap Ranch, and you know, we knew at the first one, which is back in Alabama at the beginning of May, that this was going to be a big topic. This was going to be kind of the linchpin issue for all of us because, you know, I've seen in my life and so many of the men I've talked to that as we accumulate years of life, we also accumulate baggage. You know, just things that we pick up along the way, we carry, we shouldn't be carrying, you know, as you were saying, whether it's things, you know, forgiveness that needs to be offered, offenses we need to let go of, things we're carrying that we should not be carrying because we can't do anything with it. We just have to give it over to God or just choices we've been making. We find ourselves, you know, locked into something that we know is hurting us and is an obstacle to our life in Christ and our calling. So we knew this would be big, and the two times we've done this, we've heard this is a big deal right here. And so if you want me to launch into something, I will. Yeah, okay, anyway, so I'll throw out one just to get the ball rolling. You know, one thing that I've noticed that I think I've talked to you guys about over the year, at least, if not years, I think over the year, and that is that there are a number of things that I won't approach anymore. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about some things that I think are true of the Christian life, true of what we should be doing as believers, that I don't want to get near because those things have been tainted to me by another person. A person that has offended me, hurt me, betrayed me, and therefore what they were passionate about now, I don't even want to get near anymore. And I know
you're talking
truth
about some kind of Christian teaching or something like that.
Right.
I'm asking. So it's something like some kind of Christian teaching. They do it one way, and it so bugs you. That person hurt you so much that you don't even want to touch that topic.
Right. And I find myself, you know, saying, boy, this is a key part of the Christian life. I can't ignore this. I need to believe what the word says, detach, other people's teaching from it that seem extreme or ridiculous or self-centered and come back and say, no, but this is true. I need to pay attention to it. I need to operate in it. You know, whether it's the, you know, big areas that we see out there, spiritual warfare or Christian leadership, you know, those are two areas right there that we can see a lot of abuse in. And I find myself now avoiding very important subjects of Scripture and living this Christian life because, you know, I've been turned off by somebody else. And I thought, I have got to release that because this is an important aspect of my walk with God. So yeah, that would be a really current release issue for me.
How about you, John?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I think something that's really current for me is cynicism. I'm finding more and more that I've got some deep attitudes that are cynical attitudes toward mostly towards people in leadership, churches, ministries, that sort of thing. I've seen a lot of stuff that would create a lot of cynicism.
Unfortunately, your cynicism is justified, you're saying.
I'm not, again, I don't want to justify it. But
I know.
But at the same time, you know, what I've seen in some people, I project onto many. And that's where I've got to be really careful to be, to be more accepting or maybe to be a little bit more open towards what some people are teaching or saying and not be so cynical and think they're just trying to, you know, build a empire around themselves. They're all about their own glory. It's just a cynical attitude I've got to deal with because it holds me back. I don't go forward as fast or as far with this attitude as if I could just deal with it and move on.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's funny that you both talk about somebody else, and in some ways somebody else that's holding you back. Gary, you were saying that somebody who you had a difficulty with, now you don't even want to think about teaching in that area because he was so famous for it. John is sort of saying he saw some Christian leaders acting wrongly, and now he's cynical about all Christian leaders. And folks, we did not choreograph this, by the way. We did not know what each person was going to say. None of us did. But
right.
I would say one of the things that has been affecting me is there's a Christian leader I have some connection to who, frankly, is just a controlling person. He's a bit controlling, and he's more of a counselor than he is a theologian, yet he speaks like a theologian, and his theology is just bad. And, you know, the truth is I know a lot of people whose, I don't know, their theology is bad or something like that. I don't get mad at them. I just feel sorry for them. But this guy, I feel a particular anger to when his topic is brought up. And this is why I'm saying the three of us did not choreograph the fact that something that's holding us back is some other Christian leader. But that's what's going on with me. And I was just taking some time today to think about it. And I think in some ways what happens is this one man that's making me mad, even though my connection to him is just tenuous, but I'm very angry with him, I realize he's reminding me of an old partner I had who was very controlling. He had a degree in electrical engineering, but he thought he was a great theologian. And I was mad at that person. This connection of mine, and I see sort of echoes of him in somebody else, and therefore I'm getting mad at that other person who doesn't necessarily deserve the kind of anger that I'm experiencing. And I felt like just today, I felt like God was calling me into the whole role of forgiveness again. And, you know, I'm like, holy smokes, I thought I've forgiven this guy, you know, a dozen times or two dozen times. But I really do want to work on the whole sort of letting go of forgiveness. Did I ever read you guys this quote by Who's the German guy who wrote A Call to Discipleship?
Bonhoeffer.
Bonhoeffer?
Yeah, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Have I ever read you his quote about forgiveness?
We don't know until you read it.
Yeah. I'll forgive you, too. It's sort of a long quote, though, but just bear with me, because I feel like God is saying this to me. He wrote once, if you've ever really forgiven somebody, forgiven some real wrong, all forgiveness is suffering. If you say, I forgive and I didn't suffer, it wasn't really that serious a wrong. But if you've ever been really wronged and you have forgiven it, then you have suffered, because all forgiveness is a form of suffering. If someone has wronged you deeply, there's an indelible sense of debt, an injustice, a feeling you can't shrug off. And once you sense this deep injustice, this debt, there are only two things you can do. One is you make the perpetrator pay. You find ways to make the perpetrator suffer and therefore pay down the debt. Or secondly, you forgive and you suffer. So I've got a little bit more to read, but I just thought that was really powerful. You know, he's saying forgiveness is really, really, really hard. And what it means is suffering. You can make the other person suffer, which, of course, was what we want to do, isn't it? Or we have to suffer in their place. So let me just read a little bit more. He says, if you make the perpetrator pay, there's one problem with it, and it is a huge problem. The evil done to you passes into you, and you become cruel and hard, and you become evil as well. The only alternative is not to make the perpetrator, but to forgive. And when you forgive, when you realize what it means to forgive, it means not only making the perpetrator not suffer, not slicing up the perpetrator's reputation to others, not even sticking pins in that person's heart. It means paying their debt. It means you'll suffer. It's agony, it's thorns, it's the nails, it's a cross. I'm just sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, am I nailed by this?
Yeah.
And
it's really
I feel like
easy.
The
just,
way
just,
I
just
have
think
to
about
release.
Our own pain. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of, but you know, in a certain sense, this is what Jesus did. Instead of making us pay, he took our payment. Now he says this is what he's asking us to do. You know, I want to make them pay. It's sort of like if I stick pins in them, if I ruin their reputation, then I sort of pay down their debt. And Bonhoeffer's saying the only way you can pay down your debt is to pay it yourself. Suffer yourself. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm moved by it and scared. But I think it's a way that I can be released.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, and you know what? Part of it, you know, I feel the weight of it and thinking, why do I keep carrying this around with me? Why do I bring this into, you know, the future days of my life when this is doing no good? It's actually harming. There's just so many things that we know are not helpful, but we're used to them. It kind of defines life for us. We know how to operate with it, and so we carry it until we realize we can't anymore. You know, Jeannie, let me just read what Jeannie wrote on here because it's so good. She said, on Friday, I talked to God about a heaviness I've been feeling, and he told me to schedule at least 2 uninterrupted hours over the weekend to bring my Bible, my computer, and a notebook. And when I got there, he told me to write down one-word items that I've been feeling. I ended up with 16, stuff like discouragement, criticism,
I like Gene, you know.
Fear, struggle, wrestling, etc. And then he told me to look up and write down 2 scripture verses for each one. And then he told me to pray for them as I went through the list and to release them. And anyway, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's so good. You know. So I think, you know, there's 2 thoughts as I think about all of us listening to this, saying this. And that is the idea that, you know, often, I mean, I can either get to the point where I'm thinking, I don't want to carry this anymore. It is unhelpful. you know, it's in fact it's evil or dark or sin, you know, where I come to that conviction. Or if a friend says to me in a conversation and they hear me talk about this and they say, you know, perhaps you should let that go now. This is not helping that situation that you despise. Or, you know, you're carrying something you can do nothing with. You can do nothing for the other person. And therefore, let it go, but pray. You know, I just think we really need other people to call us out when they see, you know, the things around our ankles that are tripping us up, the weights that we're carrying, or the sin in our life. But to do it gently, because if someone does it in such a way that it feels like I'm being made fun of by them, like I can't believe you would still do this, think this, carry this, that often doesn't work with me. But in gentleness, and someone I know who loves me to say it, that's usually the beginning of a release process for me.
Yeah, it's interesting, Gary, that you say that. How many of our answers come back to friendship with brothers and sisters? You know, and I'm talking
right.
about real friendship,
right.
People who love us and care for us. Because I think I need your and John's help to release things like bitterness or regret over things in the past, or confusion over the past, anxiety, and lies and accusations. I mean, I think I need your eyes to do that, but I also, as you said, need your gentleness, not only to identify it, but then also to speak into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in college, I was being mentored by a guy that was the staff guy with Crusade, and he was just a real father figure to me. And I remember he called me out once on something I had done to hurt another person. And he did it in such a good way. He got with me, and then he started the conversation by just saying, John, can you take something a little critical right now? And I think if I had said no, he probably would have said, well, then, you know, we'll talk later. But anyway, I was in a place where I could, and so I said, yeah, and he just said, very gently said, you really treated her, that girl, in a way that just wasn't right. It didn't honor her. And he was very specific about the things I had done. And I just received that and immediately thought, you're right. I absolutely did something that hurt her. And I went directly to her and confessed it and asked her to forgive me. And she and I, as a result of that one thing, became the closest friends. It was just amazing how that transformed our relationship. But it was because he took the initiative to point out something he saw that he knew really needed to be addressed. And he did so in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my wife has both a master's in counseling and social work, but she also has another master's in biblical counseling. And the school she went to has a very simple little framework for them to remember. And you know, it just sticks with me. They say, sufferer, saint, sinner. And I think this works for friends. They say, first, enter into the suffering of that person. In other words, say, I can understand how that would hurt. I really understand how that cause you pain or whatever. Enter into their suffering and then affirm the saint. In other words, say, and I really like how you're reaching out for help. I like how you're praying. I like how you're trying to be gracious, whatever. And only after you've entered into the suffering and you've affirmed the saint have you sort of earned the right to finally convict or talk to the sinner, you know, which is, you know, I think it's time to repent or something. Anyway, I really like that little simple paradigm. Enter the suffering, affirm the saint before you convict the sinner. And that sounds like what your person did, John.
Yes, yeah.
Right, I do too, Sam. I really like that, and especially with the first one, the suffering.
Entering
is
the
first
suffering.
One. Yeah.
Suffering.
Where it
there.
Is. Yeah, where it really is asking, tell me, you know, tell me about your pain. Tell me how this hurts. Tell me how your heart is doing. You know, and I know you didn't mean how you, there was more behind how you said it. You wouldn't want to just say, oh, I'm sure that was really hard, but rather tell me how that was hard. Because I've had people go, yeah, that must have been really hard. And you know you shouldn't keep holding on to that. Okay. But if somebody says, you know, to me, now tell me about that, and they really do kind of enter into the suffering going, okay, that could take anyone out. That would be hard to let go of, or that would be hard to get over. Yeah, that's a tough one. That could take some time, but it requires a start or something. You know what I mean? So I really like that paradigm, the way to look at it. You know, I'm gonna take Bob Allen's off of mute here for a second, whether he likes it or not. Bob, you are on. So give us some. Where you
Bob is always
yeah,
on.
Yeah, surprised you. He's always on. Now he just got muted. Bob, what are your thoughts about this whole idea?
Well, the
idea
of
releasing.
Yeah, because don't you think all of us, or at least if you travel through life very long, you're going to have somebody who's really difficult to love. And no matter how hard you try, they're just going to grate on you. You know? I mean, so it's just, and I just think loving them, when you go to the Lord, you say, why is this guy so hard to love? Why does, even if we're not even seeing each other or talking to each other, just the memories of conversations grate on me. You know what I mean?
He doesn't even have to be there, right?
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh, but it's just, I could think of a couple right now. Anyway, and so don't you think it's a little bit like you're entering into the death of Christ and you're, you know, but that leads to the resurrection. I mean, it's being drawn into the sufferings of Christ. At least that's what I think Paul was saying in Philippians 3 and Colossians 1.
Those incredibly hard passages. I'm going to complete in my body.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It really goes on. It seems to go along the lines of what the quote you read from Bonhoeffer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it does.
And I would think, you know, there's two reasons to release, to forgive. One is because we're commanded to forgive, and we forgive that person, let's say, who has offended us, hurt us, or has just made our life difficult, however we want to look at that. And then the other motivation, which is proper according to the Hebrews verses, we need to let it go because it is tripping us up. Even if we never see that person again or interact with them, maybe they're gone. You know, maybe they literally aren't in this world anymore and there's nothing we can do. But the lingering effect of tripping us up, weighing us down, you know, with the lightness of a walk with Christ, I think that should be another motivation as well, I think.
Right, I agree. You know, I was telling Gary this once sometime, I can't remember when, but I think one of the ways I hold on to an anger or bitterness, in other words, I don't forgive, is pride. But the way the pride manifests itself is, I'll say something along the lines of, I would never do that. You know, I'll see them control a situation or steal money from somebody and I say, I would never do that. But, you know, number one is, when we're not supposed to judge each other, I didn't have their parents. I didn't have their childhood. I don't know their memories. I don't know what they've suffered. And, you know, there's a good chance that if I had their parents and their memories and their childhood, I would do exactly what they did, or maybe something worse. But instead, I have my parents, my childhood, my memories, and I do something just different. You know, I do something bad, just different. And I walk around sort of with my nose in the air saying, I would never do that, which is just – and, you know, I wouldn't say it aloud to you guys, but I say it in my heart. And it's just sin. You know, it's kind of repulsive when I say it out loud. I think I'm going to shut up now.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, as we wrap up our time here, I think this is what I want to do. I'm very motivated now to do this, is you know, maybe tomorrow morning my time with God is just ask him, what is it that is weighing me down that I'm unaware of? You know, and, you know, because, I'm aware of some things, and there's an issue if I won't let go of it. Okay, so I need to deal with that. But I do think there are some things that I'm probably unaware of that I am still carrying with me. And I just feel like life is heavy, and maybe it's just what I've got, what I'm carrying with me. And, you know, and who I am forgiven, and, you know, what sins I can excuse in my life as, well, that's just the way it is in this world. I just think we have to, you know, yeah, I just think that would be a useful exercise, much as Jeannie was saying in the beginning that I was reading as she had written on here. So some final thoughts, John, Sam, Bob, as we wrap up.
There really is a tremendous amount of freedom when we finally let go. And there's just a lightness to our step and a joy in our heart.
Yeah.
Bob? Yeah, I would say that, okay, yeah, Bob, I'd like to hear from Bob again.
Well, do you think it helps? And maybe it doesn't. So forgive me, guys, if this sounds trite. Okay. But do you think it helps praying for people that, you know, grate on us and we just can't, I mean, just, when letting go is really hard and just almost impossible because it just keeps rearing, the memories of the conversations just keep rearing up in your head, you know? Does it
help? Hey, Bob, you can pray for me anytime you want to.
No, I'm just wondering, does it help to pray for them, for their blessing? I don't know. You know what? I'm off.
No, I do.
Bob,
I mean, so you're sort of saying a practical way of forgiving someone is just sort of also just praying that God blesses them and makes them flourish and brings healing in their heart. I think that it's hard to pray good for someone without in some ways beginning to have your heart melted towards them. You know, and, you know, so I think it's a great idea, Bob.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So tell me how it goes.
When I pray for someone that my heart is drawn to over time.
Right, you're right. And I, to be honest, with my whole heart, I can't pray for somebody's destruction and downfall. You know, I can't. I mean, I could say that to myself, but I really can't pray that to God, and I just don't think I could do it very long. So I do think it's a good practice because I do, right, to pray for somebody's well-being, for their freedom, for their, you know, healing of their heart, for their calling on their life. I do think it takes us into a different realm.
I think there's also
You know what? Yep.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead, John. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there's also the aspect, and I've done this when someone offended me, praying for their blessings, but also praying that God would open their eyes to the issue in their life that causes the offense. Because sometimes it really is something on their part that needs to be dealt with. And I have found myself praying for guys who have done things that hurt me because I've seen them do the same thing to other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very true.
Guys, this has been a good discussion. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is the kind of conversations we need to be having, and it should spur us on to, you know, love and good deeds. The scripture says to do this, so I know what I'm doing tomorrow morning. And, you know, I could do it tonight, but I have to go eat and watch a movie, so.
Hey, guys, listen, I just want to say this has been a really good conversation, and I appreciate it, and I think we need to do something like this again. I think that we all want to be freed from the things that hold us back so that we really can reflect the life of God, bring glory to the life of God. So, Gary, John, Bob, thanks very much. Secret Garden Base Camp, thanks for joining in with us. We really appreciate your input and your comments. You can say we're reading them to you because we really appreciate it. So, thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.